Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min podcast network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined as ever by Rob Blanchett, reacting to, you know, we're a few days removed now from another Manchester United win. But this time it was a little bit of a different theme to it. Win over West Ham on Sunday in the Premier League, a 1-0 win, Marcus Rashford with his 100th Manchester United goal. Rob, you were there?
I was.
How did it go down?
Yeah, strange game in terms of maybe the vibe in the stadium. I think it really did flow backwards and forwards. But you got the victory. And again, this is the kind of game that we've seen 100 times with Man United over the recent years where you don't take the points. You walk out of that stadium with your head down and you're thinking, we should have won that game, but we didn't because this player made a mistake, which meant this player made a mistake, and then this player made a mistake, and then you lost 2-1. So West Ham had plenty of chances. David De Gea was vintage. David De Gea, wasn't he? You know, rolling back the years, making these world-class saves to keep you in the match. But overall, a victory, and I think that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit more depth in a second, but you can subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, Google, Spotify, the likes, and you can watch this on YouTube as well twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. So head over to the channel, like, subscribe, join the community, leave a comment for us as well, and follow us on Twitter at underscore Scott Saunders, at underscore Rob underscore B, and at PromisedLandMU for the show as well. Let's dig back into that West Ham win, Rob, because obviously United played okay, and then they scored. I think it was quite an even game, but I think of the second half, West Ham were pretty much in control. It was a bit of a rearguard action from United, wasn't it? I don't think they kept the ball well enough in the second half. They probably could have exploited the spaces West Ham were giving them in the second half a lot better than they did. And Erik ten Hag said that as well after the game. But it's kind of a nice... United did not play well at all, but as you said, Rob, they still won. And it was important to show the steel and the resolve and the way that they celebrated the win. I know it was only a 1-0 win over West Ham. You can see that it means something to the players again.
Look, when you win a game with a messy victory and a messy performance, or you play fantastic football, win 5-0, still only get 3 points. Just what it is. So we would love to see Man United scoring more goals. And of course, that would have put this game to bed. When you look at the stats, United actually did have more shots than West Ham. Yet at the end of the game, because of the way that certainly the second half went, it felt the opposite, didn't it? It felt like United were just completely on the back foot. But like you said, I think United had a chance to bury the match. Ronaldo had plenty of chances in the game, 3 or 4 real gilt-edged chances. Fred hit the post when he came on. So United could have won this game 2-3-4-1 easily. You know, they got a clean sheet. And I said that was obviously on De Gea. But it's good to see that United are starting to be able to chug away and put together these performances based around energy and based around just mattering, just that they want to win, don't they? Because I think that this is still, it's the intangible that you can't measure. Yeah, it's the one stat you can't measure, is that how much does a player really want it? Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, they're celebrating at the final whistle. You know, they were on David De Gea in the same way that I remember that the team jumped on Edwin van der Sar in Moscow when we won the Champions League final. I remember that right in front of me. And it felt like that moment, but this was only West Ham at home. But I think it shows how much it matters to these players. And that's something we've demanded for a long time. We want to see our players care and we want to see unity on the football pitch. I think we're just starting to see those initial seeds starting to bloom.
Yeah, starting to rub off. Harry Maguire started the game, which I think he had a bit of a wobble in the first half, but given... We know he's a good defender. When the backs are against the wall, you know that he's good in the air. And we saw a lot of pluses. Maybe Harry Maguire took a little bit of confidence from that. But I did want to... We mentioned David De Gea already, made some amazing saves. Maybe we'll talk about him in a second. But Diogo Dalot is the one at the moment getting a lot of love for... I think there were 4 or 5 back post flick-on headers that he that he managed to get himself onto, which stopped West Ham from... scoring, essentially. He just looks... If there's one player, I think, that's really taken... Well, Erik ten Hag has taken from one level to another. Probably him. Maybe you could put Rashford in that as well. But Dalot, I think, is a bit of a surprise to some people.
Yeah, look, I think this is why I always say about players when they're out of form or when you're not seeing the things that you want to see from them, you've got to give it a little bit of time. Can you teach a player to do certain things? Can you actually get a fullback and say, do you know what? When that ball comes over from the opposite side and goes up there, you position yourself here because then you can get a flick on there, you can block a run there, and you can help your centre-backs. And we know that Man United have been weak at that for years. You know, Aaron Wan-Bissaka's not very good at it. And we know Dalot was an absolute disaster at it last season and beyond. Just not a very defensive player. But like you're saying there, and it's kind of ironic, I think the best part of his game at the moment is his defensive side of his work. You know, he really is kind of covering that back post, especially with Varane out the team. You need that right centre back, right fullback to tuck in and to be able to help. And West Ham kind of played a 4-4-2 at times, and they were swinging that ball in the box because they were trying to exploit that. Yeah, David Moyes looks at that and thinks, I can exploit Dalot on the day Dalot wins that battle. Actually, it wasn't just once or twice. It was like 3 or 4 times where he gets his head on the ball. And there were good, strong headers as well. It wasn't a kind of like, oh, do I or don't I? It was, right, this is my job. I'm going to look after the ball here. I'm going to make sure they don't score. And it certainly contributed to the victory.
Just thinking about it now, the amount of times I saw United concede that goal last season and the season before, it was a problem under Solskjaer. It was a problem under Ranić as well. Mm-hmm. Teams would just stack the back post with 2 or 3 players. Yeah. And loft it quite long, and then they'd have this massive overlap where there'd be no United defenders. So it seems like they've, touch wood, that they've managed to fix that for now.
Hopefully. And do you know what as well? It's not about whether you're good at heading the ball or not. It's not about that, is it? It's more about awareness and about knowing what your job is in that moment. I think that's the difference with Dalot, is that both him and Wan-Bissaka would get always caught under the ball. So they'd come too narrow towards the penalty spot, and the ball would go over their heads, and we'd be in the stands watching it, and it would be the same old player arriving at the back post, and you'd be like, well, this is going in the net. It goes in the net, and you're like, huff. But it does look like this manager has got some tactics, and he's forcing them into his players. So that was the most pleasing thing, I think, as far as Dalot goes, is that he's developing as an all-round defender. I'd like to see more production now on the front foot. You know, we've always said that he's a good attacking fullback. Well, let's see some more of that. So that means getting up and down the pitch. On the flip side, on the left-hand side, you know, Luke Shaw is back. You know,
honestly, he really is. Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, the rebirth of Luke Shaw. Here we go. I'm back again. I'm in the team.
Fifth or sixth rebirth.
I said that. It's like I called it the second coming. And then I said, well, maybe it's the third or the fourth. I don't know. I think it's the fourth, actually, with Luke Shaw. But it just shows that I think if he's got a manager that gives him direction and gives him the tools to do the job, both tactically and around with his team, he's very much a barometer of that team. I think when the team's starting to play well, Luke Shaw looks classy. And when the team plays badly, Luke Shaw starts to look a little bit brittle. So I think that the fullbacks, you know, I think in modern football, fullback is probably the most important position. You've seen this now because they don't just get up and down, but they come inwards now and be part of the midfield. And we need to see more of that. Delo's doing that all the time now, comes inverted. And we just need to kind of see consistency from those fullbacks. You might need another right back to go and help out in the months and years ahead to help Delo, because I think you need options. But overall, with those fullback positions out, Man United looking so much healthier than they were 12 months ago.
United have got two league games left before the World Cup. How has your attitude, has it altered? Has it changed? Because I know I'm not really there yet, but I was looking at this West Ham game and I was thinking, that's winnable, but I don't know if we'll win.
Yeah.
You know, but as a United fan, you're supposed to have that. We're going to win this game. You know, that confidence, you should have it. That's what United are. You know, you should be thinking and going in expecting to win every single game. Well, maybe not every game. You know, there's teams out there now that are massively richer and, you know, like City, for example. But how has things changed? Like the attitude that the players are showing now, do you have more confidence that they can go to, say, Aston Villa and Fulham and take 6 points?
What I have more confidence in is that they know who they are more. That's what I have confidence in. So, you know, we said it in pre-season a lot, didn't we? We saw some good stuff. We were like, well, this is the framework. These are foundations. So if you carry on this pathway, it won't always look pretty and it won't always be perfect, but you're getting somewhere. You can see a destination in the distance and you are slowly but surely traveling towards that light. You're getting there. That's how I felt for a long time, even when Man United had been losing matches, or, you know, after Brentford, I think was probably the lowest point. We've talked about that to death. But now I feel confident that United could go into any of these matches, whether it be against a big team, a smaller team or whatnot. And you know that they know who they are. And that's really important. That's what football's about. We talk about City and Liverpool, and not the current incarnation of Liverpool, but in the last few years, they've always had the strongest identities. They know who they are. They know what their teammates do. They know what their manager wants. And do you know what they do? They just go out, they deliver, and that's it. They go home. We're starting to get there with Man United. I think we've got more players than not on the football pitch that are enjoying this process. You know, they actually look like they're enjoying defending and being with each other and supporting each other and all the things that you really want to see from your football team. So, as you said, Villa, a team that have had a dysfunctional few months, Gerrard's out the door, now bringing in a manager that can organise and that can kind of stop you doing stuff. You did see in that West Ham game that Moyes did that for a bit. It kind of clogged up the channels, stopped United playing, but he lost the game. And that's all that matters. So ultimately, if you come out of it and you've got the victory, whether you're lucky or, you know, you just scraped it, still 3 points. This is what Man United need to get good at now, is going away or being at Old Trafford. You don't have to be brilliant every week. You just have to win. Find ways to win. Winning is the absolute best habit in football.
We'll be hoping that United can beat Villa twice before the World Cup. They also play Real Sociedad in the Europa League, which we'll talk about later on. Mm-hmm. And obviously they have the two league games as well, Villa and Fulham, before the World Cup. But Marcus Rashford, we should probably talk about. Like Diogo Dalot, is out of contract as it stands at the end of the season, but there's an extension option in the contract. But yeah, I'm looking at him now. He just, his interview post-match with Sky was quite eye-opening as well.
Yeah.
Addressed the fact that he had off-field issues last season that really made football not the focus. I'm paraphrasing here, but I think that's essentially what he said. But a day before he turns 25, he scores his 100th goal for Man United. And how many headers have we ever seen him score, especially in that fashion as well? He's absolute bullet header. And that's not the first time either. He did it in midweek as well in the Europa League last time out. And he had another headed chance earlier in this game too. Is Marcus Rashford picking up new abilities and new skills? He's definitely got his confidence back, hasn't he? Like Ten Hag's worked wonders. And he's starting to look like the player now that we hoped he would be.
Yeah, it's interesting, Nick, because I think that post-match interview he did was really kind of honest about himself. And, you know, we talk a lot about mental health in the game now and players being actual human beings and not robots. You know, we expect them, don't we, to be repetitively brilliant at everything they do. But, you know, they have good and bad days at the office like every one of us. I think overall, when you look at Marcus Rashford, the fact that he said after the game that he wasn't concentrated last year and he wasn't enjoying it. So I'm being quite honest about those things. Now, we know the manager that he loved, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, got kicked out of the football club. That would have had something to do with it professionally. Of course, there were other stuff off the pitch as well. And I think dealing with some of the turmoil at the football club with other players and friends at the football club. And you're dealing with that as a process. But new manager comes in, new ideas. You go out there and be yourself, can't you? And I think that's all we're seeing now, is that this is the real Marcus Rashford. You know, this is Marcus Rashford that's a Man United fan that loves the football club. Wants to do his best for Manchester United. I still think, Scott, he gets incredible in criticism from the wider fan base. I really do. Like he's one of these players that can't do anything right for a certain amount of fans. And then, you know, we talk about Ronaldo on the other side, who, you know, you can see is in massive rapid decline in terms of what he does, you know, in scoring goals and helping the team. And yet, you know, because Ronaldo, everyone loves him. He can do no wrong. And it's like, even in the stadium, when Ronaldo's missing those chances, people are going, oh, unlucky Cristiano. Whereas if it's Rashford missing a similar chance, it's, I hate you, Marcus Rashford. You hear it. You actually hear people screaming it. And you're like, calm down. But that's football, isn't it? Football is fickle. So I think that Rashford's going to be a huge part of this project going forward. You know, I think David De Gea said after the game, that he thinks, like, he sees Marcus every day. He says, I think Marcus Rashford can become a world-class footballer. They were his words. I kind of feel that as well. I think if you can do the things that Ten Hag wants you to do, he will definitely add goals to his game. But, you know, we were saying he probably won't start on the left this year. He looks like our best option on the left, doesn't he? By quite a long way at the moment. Jadon Sancho is miles out of the form we'd want him to be in. Congratulations to Marcus. I think 100 goals by the age of 24 by one day, just about made it. There's not many players at clubs across the world at 24 years old at the professional, at the highest level, you score 100 goals and you're not even a striker. You're playing from a wider position. It's an incredible achievement and long may it continue.
I think back to last season and the criticism, obviously rightly so, that the players were getting for not being up to scratch. And we just talked about Diogo Dalot and Marcus Rashford, and there was calls throughout last season for both of them, among others, to be sold. These players are finished. But again, it's important to really think back. And you think of it in the context of, since Sir Alex Ferguson, United have had David Moyes as manager. They've had Louis van Gaal as manager, who has a record. Moyes, yeah, okay, but we know that didn't work out. Louis van Gaal has a record of promoting young players and getting the best out of them. And then you go to Jose Mourinho, you go to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and then you go to Ralph Rangnick, who had 6 months with a few caretakers here and there. Rashford, really, given his introduction by Louis van Gaal, has been on his own. Like, how many coaches has he had that are going to look at him and say, I know exactly how to get the best out of you, and you're going to do this, and it's going to result in this. Ten Hag is, I think this is why a lot of fans wanted Ten Hag, because he has that track record of making players perform well above their station or well above what people expect them to. And when you work with players that you know are talented, that have been underperforming, you're inevitably going to, if things go right, you're inevitably going to see an upturn like this. And hopefully Marcus Rashford can keep kicking on. 100 goals if he stays. I'm sure he will stay at some point, sign a new contract. Who knows where he can end up on? But everyone's been very quick to judge the players and say that they're not good enough and not good enough, but they've not. Look at the managers they've had.
So completely, and the conditions at the football club and the environment at the football club have been far from perfect, you know. And I think this is the problem, is that, again, football fans, I think, tend not to look at those things because you can't touch and feel them. You know, it's behind the scenes. It's stuff that we can't really measure. But I think when you look at, like, Luke Shaw as well, you know, there's a correlation between the likes of Shaw and Rashford in terms of their confidence, being well coached, and then getting production out of them. So, you know, I'm not surprised that you're seeing a tactical coach who builds football clubs and is very much a grassroots type of manager who will really look at infinite details, the smallest tiny things to get the biggest result. I'm not surprised that these players are thriving under him. And do you know what? On the flip side, Scott, there will be players that don't make it. There'll be players that can't deal with that kind of micro scrutiny that a coach like Ten Hag brings and would prefer a bit more of like of a freewheeling Mourinho approach. Like Mourinho always used to say, I coach defenders and yep. I don't coach anything else. I don't coach attacking midfielders. I don't catch forwards. I let them go and do what they want to do. I let them be free, but I coach my defence and we do defensive work. Ten Hag's not doing defensive work, but he's much more of a holistic coach, much more rounded. Marcus Rashford is showing, I think, that if he's got someone to hold his hand and help him there, that he can be an enormous part of the jigsaw at Man United and improving this environment. Like, if they've got to find a way now of even the next set of players coming in now in January and beyond, that this continues, that this kind of vibe is there. Because if you think about it, we've not talked about a lot about Mason Greenwood for obvious reasons going backwards. But that would have really fractured United's confidence within the squad that someone who's within your inner realm is going through that and is now rightfully, obviously, going forward in terms of being judged for it. That's difficult for morale because these are lads all together in it. And I think that's something that you need to kind of put that to one side. You need to bring in fresh blood and to help the likes of Marcus, to help Luke Shaw. Mentioned Harry Maguire, same with him. You know, you need to keep these guys now going in a positive trajectory. I think Ten Hag does that well. You know, I think he's really good at keeping the baseline and saying to people, follow this, do as you're told, and let's see if we can win football matches. And so far, was it one goal only conceded in the last six? I think it's one goal in the last six in all competitions. So David De Gea's had five clean sheets in that little run of games. I'll tell you what, if you only conceded one goal in six, Scott, you will invariably win football matches. It's just how it goes, you know, because even if you win 1-0, you're still getting those 3 points. So that's really pleasing to see. I think those kind of stats kind of jump off the page at me because that's what we're wanting to see from this Man United side.
Congrats to Marcus Rashford, 100 up, and who knows what he could end up on by the end of his career if he stays at the club for the duration of it. But one other player that we were expecting to get more out of is Anthony Martial. Obviously has been injured for the duration of the season so far, has played 45 minutes, I think, against Liverpool, 28 minutes against Everton or something like that, and played pre-season and looked like he was going to take on Erik ten Hag's instructions and become a better player because of it. Another player has been written off massively. Is now, I think he's about 26. So the time has come, and the time might come because he's back in training. But are we thinking that he might be back in training and maybe can retain his place in the team, or is he going to get injured again? It's good news, though, regardless, isn't it?
It's good news. And, you know, the viability of this Man United team in the weeks and months ahead, and certainly this season, is how do they score goals? What does the number nine do in this team? Again, no point talking about Cristiano to a blue in the face. We know what he does do. We know what he doesn't do. But Anthony Martial really is certainly the short-term medicine that you need to take. You know, you need to get him fit. You need him in the team. He needs to be your number nine. Not just because of what he can do, but I think, again, he's a player that makes other players better. Bruno Fernandes is one I'm certainly thinking about more than anyone. I think when Bruno links up with Martial, Bruno looks like a completely different entity. When Bruno links up with Ronaldo, Bruno looks like little boy lost, loses the ball every 10 minutes. It's a nightmare. But I think with Martial, he's supposedly fit again. United have been cautious this time round. They've tried to make sure they don't get him back in the first team too quickly. I think he'll be involved in the Europa League because it's obviously a huge match. Maybe off the bench, not quite sure whether he is ready to start. But you've got to find a way now of keeping him fit in the rotation. And I think more than anything, it will just be a case of rotating those pieces at number nine this year, Martial, Rashford and Ronaldo, and just coping until you can find the striker that you really want to take your club forward. But I think with Anthony Martial, really good in pre-season and the games that we have seen, incredible strike rate as well. When you look at his work, you know, like when he's on the pitch, he scores goals, he helps the team win. If you can keep him fit, that will go a long way to making sure that Man United win football matches.
You mentioned there, Rob, the Europa League. It's a big game. We usually brush over Europa League matches, given United have played Sheriff and Ammonia in the other team in the group that United have played. This one's a big game, though, because obviously, I'm sure you know the context if you're listening or watching. United need to win this game by two goals to top the group. And it's away in San Sebastian against Real Sociedad. Good team. They won at Old Trafford in the reverse, thanks to... Oh, it was that penalty, wasn't it? That Lisandro Martinez handball, which was just an absolute joke. But United weren't really up and running at that point. Yeah. That was the first game in the group. United need to go and win this game by two goals in order to avoid a Champions League dropout in the round of 32 of the Europa League. If they win, and they win by that margin, they will bypass that round and go into the last 16. So it's quite an important game, isn't it? Not only because of topping the group and what it means, but to save your legs. Because after the World Cup, it's going to be absolutely, like, people are looking at this point now and talking about injuries and all this stuff. This is going to continue post World Cup. This is going to be games every 3 days for the rest of the season. United need to avoid that best they can. And they could be playing Barcelona, they could be playing Juventus, they could be playing Tottenham, they could be, I don't know.
The schedule is horrific. It really is. And it's almost like, because of this strange World Cup, that footballers said, well, we don't really care about domestic football. Just squeeze it all in and get on with it. But of course, then you've got your European matches to play on top of it. So, yeah, it's an important game in the sense that you would rather win the group, wouldn't you, and progress that way. It gives you, buys you an extra bit of time, means you're not playing an extra game, and you could really do with that. On the flip side, Scott, so you know what we say about not being interested in Europa League. I like it when Europa League gets interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm quite interested in this game. Final game, you're going away. It's kind of, it's a do and die, but you're definitely not going to die. You can go there, and even if you have a bad performance, lose the game, draw the game, whatever, you're through. You're going to go through to this playoff system. And if you're in the playoffs, I'm up for a two-legged trip to Barcelona, you know, or Juventus or whoever. It's going to be a big game. It'll be exciting. A little bit, maybe, I don't know, kind of perverse looking at it like that in football terms. But I'm always saying with European games, you want the best. I want to see United play good teams in Europa League, or, you know, that's why we want to be in the Champions League, isn't it? So I'm not too stressed about this upcoming game. I think United can go there, do a job. I think United can win by two or three goals. I really do. I think they're in that kind of form. Goal scoring is an issue, but this is the kind of game where Mr. Cristiano Ronaldo might put his Europa hat on and go, well, in Europe, I'm the Don, I can do this. You might just get two or three chances, bury them all, and we're talking about him again in positive terms. But I don't think it's the end of the world. If you don't get through here and you're going to this playoff system, it won't be great. But I think when the games come around, as fans, we'll be like, yeah, a trip to the Nou Camp, we're up for that. I think Man United could beat Barcelona over two legs. I think they could beat Juventus over two legs. I really do. I think they're a better team at the moment. So I'm not as worried as, say, if it was the start of the season, if Brentford, Man United were going to the Nou Camp, then we might have been like, right, this is not particularly desirable. European football should be interesting and should be entertaining. So one way or the other, we're going to get that.
That is only some of the teams, by the way. We talked Barcelona, Juventus. Juventus might not even get through, you know.
Yeah, there's a ton of them.
Juventus have got
there?
PSG.
Yeah,
it could be Juventus. Could be Maccabi Haifa, for example. It could be that they play Benfica at home. It could be someone like Sevilla. It could be Shakhtar Donetsk, Salzburg. Yeah, Juventus. All of these different teams. Barcelona is the one that really sticks out. But I think I kind of agree with you there, Rob. I think it is definitely winnable. It's a good test of where United are at the moment as well. Like, it's a little bit of pressure, isn't it? A little bit of pressure. And it's interesting to see how they would cope with it. And if they don't, it's not the end of the world for now.
And do you remember, like, the games against PSG in the Champions League? And that was a real litmus test for the Solskjaer project. It was like, can you go to these places and cope, first of all, but can you even get a victory? And they proved that they could. Do you know what I mean? They proved that they could look at the faces of the Neymars and the Mbappes in this kind of elite team and beat them. I think United could go to the Nou Camp and win the Frankie de Jong derby. I think they could do that, you know, the Dion Classico. So that could happen. And then it kind of puts some more legitimacy, doesn't it, on the United project? Kind of say to yourself, well, you know, you went there, you did it the hard way. But hey, this club has always done it the hard way. It's classically done it that way, even back into the Fergie years. So not overly worried about it. And kind of looking forward to the game on Thursday now. I kind of think it's going to be quite interesting. And I just want to see Man United go out there and play their best football.
United have played Real Sociedad in the Europa League in recent years. I think it was in 2021. I'm looking at the result now. They beat them 4-0, but it was in Turin. That was the away leg, but it was in Turin. You know, they have previous. I know they lost the recent match, but a lot of these players have played this team before. And you never know, do you? So we will wait and see what happens on Thursday night. Hopefully United manage to take all 3 points and avoid that last that round of 32, just so they can save their legs for the tasks that are upcoming in the Premier League and hopefully the cup competitions as well.
That's the benefit, isn't it? Like, I think if this was a real do or die, like, you know, if you lost this game or drew this game, you're out the competition, then there's definitely some more anxiety and nerves around it, but you're not, you're through to this silly playoff system that the UEFA want to do this year. But it will make it more interesting, and it will mean that you might get a really interesting away day in this competition. But like you said, you want to save your legs. This World Cup really is going to be brutal on the players.
Yeah, Rob, we're going to keep it short and sweet today. We're half an hour in. Any final thoughts for you? Because obviously we'll do another show before United play Villa on Sunday, but feeling all right at the moment.
Yeah, look, I think with Manchester United matters, it's a shame that this World Cup's coming up. Really is, because it feels like United are in a really good place. What we are going to see clubs, and I think United are doing this, is that they're all going to get some warm weather training. So I believe that United have arranged a game in Cadiz. I think that went yesterday, that was announced. So you're going to see in December that the players that don't go to the World Cup, there's not going to be many of them. Most of them are going in some capacity or the others, but maybe the Jadon Sanchos of this world will continue training with the coach, and that nothing will stop away from the behind the scenes. Like, I know we all think, especially as journalists, we're thinking about the World Cup now and all the stuff that goes with the World Cup international football. But in the background, club football will be continuing. They will be training. And I think that's a good thing, because I think it gives Ten Hag a little bit more time to work with those players that maybe are not performing and to be able to keep them fresh and get them ready for the second half of the season.
Yes, indeed. I was just thinking, hopefully Anthony Martial can... I saw today that there were suggestions he was hoping he could late on force his way into the French squad. I think that's...
Is he in the provisionals, though? I don't know.
I haven't seen.
But he is really popular in the international scene. They realise what he can offer as a player who can play left and central. And it wouldn't... Look, if he gets back in the team Thursday, scores a goal, it doesn't surprise me if he does make that World Cup squad. But to tell you the truth, personally, again, I'd prefer that he doesn't go to the World Cup, because I think he could do with that training under Ten Hag and getting fitter, and they can work on the faculties around his body rather than him going to a World Cup, sitting on the bench, coming off 10 minutes, stubbing his toe in and being out for 6 weeks. So, you know, I'd rather actually see him ready for Manchester United when we get back after Christmas.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for listening today, everyone. This has been the Promised Land podcast. A shorter episode today, as I have to run off quite soon. But yes, you can subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, Google, Spotify, and all the different audio platforms. And watch us on YouTube as well, twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. So head over to the channel, like, subscribe, join the community, leave a comment for us as well. And follow us on Twitter and get in touch with us on there as well. @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @PromisedLandMU for the show. This has been The Promised Land. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. And we'll catch you very soon.